You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Well, would you look at that? It is 7:01 and it's a Tuesday. It's, oh my goodness, it's a Teaching Tuesday, Kelly.
What does that mean, Steve?
What does that mean? That means it's time for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald, founder and executive director of anchorsaway.org. Is the place where you find and develop your Christian worldview to stand firm on your beliefs in the face of an ever-changing world and culture out there. This whole culture. Nancy, this whole culture is just upsetting me.
Gives you a headache.
It does.
For good morning.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Wonderful.
Loving snow. So this is just an added bonus. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing.
Oh, boy.
It's not a good thing.
Okay. Everybody take a moment. Nancy needs prayer. Just take a moment. Just a moment.
Well, it's all how you look at stuff, you know. Kind of like our question, you know, did Jesus stop being God when he came to earth? And golly, I can remember as a new Christian thinking, well, what's that like? You know, what was that? And I think it's one that our students asked this last week, so I thought I'd just pick it up and throw it out there. I think for us, and being of human mind, it's impossible for us to really, truly understand the divine sometimes. And we rarely talk about the triunity of God because it's just something that is beyond us in some ways, but yet God talks about it. It's how he introduced himself to us through the scriptures. So it would serve us well to pay attention to it. And then I think in the meantime, it answers a whole lot of questions that we might have. Mm. You know, God wrote and inspired Moses and the writers in Genesis 1:1. God identifies himself just by that word as being the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I think it's just fascinating that in the beginning, God, and people think, well, that means that he was sovereign. Actually, the word is Elohim. It's masculine noun for all those who are into that. But it's plural in definition. And that plurality, we see this come to fruition in Genesis 1:2 as to what that means. And Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then we see in Genesis 1:26, when God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And it just, there it is. It starts out, boom, in the beginning was God, God the Father, the God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, we see this confirmation in John 1:1-5, which were really the first words that I read in the New Testament that changed my world. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Wow. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, in the life of the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, which is a wonderful message for us in these days. But we see this beautiful picture of the declaration of Jesus being God in the beginning carried through in the New Testament. The light shines in the darkness. It's just a testimony, again, for God's love of humanity. It's beautiful, beautiful story here.
So, Nancy, I got to ask, because I was telling Steve, you know, I remember being a younger Christian, too, and wondering, these things about Jesus? Did he always know that he was God? Was there a point where, you know, the Spirit overtook him? And it is just, it amazes me to think, you know, of him being just a small baby and yet deity. Was there ever any question with Jesus as to whether he knew that he was God?
I don't think there could be a question with that. It's just something, again, that we have trouble understanding. But of course, the movie industry and those that are into writing novels would love to draw up stories of Jesus as a child. We know very, very, very little about that. But there is never a question that we can find in the scriptures that he didn't know that he was God. And as God, in the heavenlies, he was seated next to God the Father, right, in heaven, and Philippians 2, and the kenosis passage there. And he came to earth. He chose to give up his seat and come to earth as our Savior. That did not make Jesus less than God. He took on the form of man, and in essence, he became God-man. And Mary knew. I mean, she knew from the very beginning. Remember, the angel of the Lord came and said, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son," capital S, "of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign in the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So there it was. She heard those words, and again and again. I'm not so sure she understood it all, but she pondered them. She thought about them, and no doubt that visit with the angels came up in her mind over and over and over again as she witnessed the life of her son, the Son of God, growing up. I mean, can you imagine?
Well, it begs the question then, did he even know as a boy that he was God? Did he know from the beginning, or did he come to knowledge of who he was later in life?
Well, there again, I can't imagine why he wouldn't know. Mary had witnessed it, no doubt. You know, we can't be privy to all these conversations she might have had with Jesus, you know, growing up and just talking to him about the visit of the angel, about how God had chosen, you know, her to give birth to him. We are not privy to that. And everything that was said was not recorded in the scriptures. You know, there would be no number of books that we could possibly read, you know, if that were true. But I do believe, you know, when he was 12, as you commented a few minutes ago, he went with his family to Jerusalem to celebrate this piece of the Feast of the Passover. And when the feast was over, his family and friends started back. We know this story, and Jesus stayed behind. And then when they realized after 3 days, they went back and they found him in the temple. And it says here, he was sitting among the teacher, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw them, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" You know, we see in John 8:58-59, when as a man, Jesus claimed to be God to the Jews, remember? And at one point, this is when they really started plotting to kill him. When he said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham, I am," which is a declaration of identity with God. You know, it's when Moses went to Pharaoh, you know, and said, you know, or when the Pharaoh was asked, you know, what should I say to him? What do I say to the Pharaoh? He said, just tell him I am sent you. And here we see the same word again, that truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And that's when they picked up stones, you know, and they were going to kill him. But Jesus, of course, in his deity, you know, hid himself and went out of the temple and didn't let anybody touch him at that point. But Jesus claimed to be God, and there's no question about it in both the words that he spoke and the things that he did. And this does not make him less than God when he said, I tell you the truth, the Son of God can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. And for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. That's John 5:19-20. So I just think, and we're going to talk about a couple other scriptures here, but he knew he was God, and he was balancing his godhood with being a man and identifying with the human race. And the beauty of it is the hope for us in this is that his nature of God and the nature of Jesus were identical, the same attributes, but that beautiful relationship that he had with him that did not change when he came to earth as a man, the relationship, the harmony between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the holy of holies for us to even imagine. And then God came to earth, you know, Jesus came to earth, and he identifies, listen to this in John 10:38. Jesus said, but if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you might know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. And later John writes that when we become believers, that the Holy Spirit will live in us. And Jesus promises that he will be with us too. And the Father promises he will be with us. So here we see the promise of Jesus is a man promising eternity with us, with he and his Father. It is just absolutely gorgeous. Even the Apostle John declares, I have seen and have bared witness that this is the Son of God. So he was made known, and I love in Cana, it wasn't the time for him to declare this because it wasn't time for him to be killed at that point. That was coming, but he knew. He had to have known, and furthermore, he could not have ever committed a sin because he was the holy sacrifice, the sinless man who lived. So I cannot imagine what it would be like to have a playmate like Jesus who never sinned, who never sat in the hallway with you, Steve.
Well, it kind of brings up the question, he was there with me in the hallway. He never left my side.
Well, fine, so, but he wasn't sent there like
no,
you.
No, he was not. No, he went there because of me. Here's the thing, his earthly life had to have looked a lot different, and I'd like to jump into that. We're going to take a quick break, but love to understand, you know, what it is that Jesus's earthly life must have looked like, because it's got to be so much different than what we would expect. So we're going to come back, and we'll ask that question of Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away right after this.
They'll start your morning with Jesus, conversation, and calls. It's Mornings with Kelly and Steve. Call or text them now at 800-969-9467.